Hey there, and welcome to the Handmaid's After Show. We're talking about Other Woman, Season 2, Episode 4. Aunt Lydia just won't go away. Serena is cray-cray. And has June finally lost it? Also, we'll talk about the Amy Schumer SNL Handmaid's Tale Sex in the City skit. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I did really like this song, though. They always have great songs on this show.
Yes.
Welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show, talking Season 2, Episode 4, Other Woman.
Yeah.
My name is Carrie Lane. I'm joined by my awesome co-host. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm just popping in just to say hello. Hi, guys. I'm Adrian Snow.
Hey, everyone. Veronica Barriga here. Yes.
And then Joelle will be back next week. So she wasn't able to make it this week. But let's initial thoughts on this episode, and especially Adrian, let's start with you because you're back this week.
I was like, I would like to come on the show.
Yes, please talk.
I liked it, but I was also kind of like infuriated. Mm-hmm, I was like, the flames on my face. and so it's kind of like there's just certain things that I was like, this is now a major hole in the show in terms of like how they deal with race, and I was like, and they need to address it. I was like, because there were a lot of, like, dynamics in the episode that if they addressed racial dynamics would have been, I think, a little bit more, it would have made the show more, the episode more interesting and also just, like, fleshed out characters a lot more.
Yep.
So that was what I thought.
Well, that's something I remember a complaint from season one is how this show, like, has race, but not really at all. And
like,
so it's
just
like,
doesn't acknowledge it. Yeah.
I just, it's so, like, it's so depressing, the show, just as it is. I think if they added the race layer, like, I just wouldn't even be able to handle it. And I'm like, and I don't mean that, I'm like an activist. I march for all groups, everything.
Well, yeah,
but
we can talk about what were your thoughts, though, yeah.
Yeah, so I just, I don't know. I think that that's so, it's already realistic enough if they added that layer of race in America or a, you know, dystopian society. I don't know. It'd be hard to watch.
Yeah.
Just because
what were your thoughts on the episode?
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
That's a whole other big one. But yeah, no, it's cool. What are your initial thoughts on this episode?
I'm still suffering from post-traumatic stress from this episode. Yeah, no, literally, I just watched it now and I'm still trying to get it through my mind because there was so much that went on and I'm just trying to figure out what June is going through, you know, where she is. Yeah, this felt like season one in one episode for me. Like, there was so much going on. I just felt like I had a flashback to maybe half of season one or a big chunk of it. Yeah.
Yeah, this episode has a lot of very infuriating things because it's just like she's been captured again and you're just like,
ugh. Yeah.
I have a question for both of you. And then for you watching,
can we also get the chat up on this?
Yeah, we do have a live chat on our YouTube page for this. If you're watching this live, feel free to join us in the chat. If you're watching it later, please comment down below. So my question for you, the viewers, and then panel, do we feel essentially it's just a plot device that she got captured in? Because we talked about it last week, how the safe house was no good, but she still goes to the airport, and Joelle was pointing out last week, too, of like, safe house is no good. The other one's probably compromised. So you shouldn't have done it. So is this just a convenient way to get her captured again?
Well, I don't necessarily think so. I think they kind of had to, you know, at least give us a little bit of hope. But it's called The Handmaid's Tale. It's not called June's Tale. So,
it's true.
Yeah.
Like, I had a feeling that eventually she was going to get captured. I would have liked it to happen this episode. I think we could have had another episode of, like, her like trying to get out.
Sure.
And I would have liked to have spent more time with that family, the Ikano family. So yeah, I can kind of see it like just being like a plot device, but at the same time, I think they could have had her on the run a little bit more because that would have given them more time to flesh out Canadian the characters in Canada, not Canadian characters, and just other things going on. So.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was way too soon. And now we're back to square one, and it's like they're just trying to erase everything that happened.
Yeah,
she worked so hard for, and now, yeah, it's eerie for me to for this episode was so eerie. I just feel like, you know, when she walks into that room, I just felt like, oh wow, I'm being reintroduced to this show, and I felt like the first episode
the upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, her hands on the door frame too, when she's like not wanting to go in the room. I'm like, ah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So at the beginning, though, an interesting thing when she's just kind of doing her narration of how boredom can be the ultimate destroyer for people mm-hmm. and animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a way to keep your mind active, otherwise you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
That was insane. Fun and creepy. I love, though, June reclaiming her name with Aunt Lydia, like, no, my name's June, you mm-hmm. know my name, but we get the really creepy, no, June will be chained until birth and then executed, but Offred has a better opportunity. Yay. It's just like, it just really is one of those, what option do you go with? Do you want to resist and stand your ground and make a point, but then you die? Or do you go and endure? Or, you know, essentially double agent and, like, you agree to passively agree, but underneath you're like, nope.
I could have used a minute just to kind of see what her thought process was. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, they're... Because really, when you're in a situation like that, even if you decide to go back, you can still die. They could still kill her right
That's
after
true.
She has the baby,
yes.
even if they take care of her. Can yeah. we get the chat just a little bit bigger? I'm blind.
Yeah, but that's too far away.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. But I just think that giving us a second to kind of see what her thought process was would have been helpful. But yeah. at the same time, you know, I guess for her, there's more of a chance of help if she goes back to the commander's house, mm-hmm. and a chance to see Nick, a chance to talk mm-hmm. to, yeah. I'm blanking on her
Rita.
Name, Rita. Mm-hmm. If she goes back home versus staying and being caged
yes.
by Aunt Lydia.
Yeah, that shot, what do we all think of that shot of the dress on the hanger? We get her looking at it and what that kind of symbolizes of, all right, you're taking up the dress, it means you're green. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the side angle one where it's the dress and her. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, that like distance you got to go to
yeah.
literally get it. Love the visual stuff on this show so much. So, yeah, she agrees. She gets in the car ride, and Aunt Lydia was very prominent in this episode.
Yeah.
How she's like, you need to earn your place and prove you're worthy. Mm-hmm. I still want my Aunt Lydia backstory episode, because I'm like, this woman.
I could care less.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because it wasn't like, when they did the back Lydia, the story, backstory
Serena.
On Serena, mm-hmm. I thought I might care more, mm-hmm. and then it kind of confirmed for me, I don't need to see the backstory on these people. Like, I was like,
sure.
it doesn't sound like
yeah.
anything that any mm. motives they have are
yeah.
sane,
right?
And so I don't really need
yeah.
to
or
understand.
That anything will make us empathize with yeah. their character yeah. at this point, even if they did have it rough.
Yeah.
Nothing
oh, yeah.
will, yeah.
Well, we got Sarah in the chat says lose today to fight tomorrow, which mm-hmm. is true, very true.
One day at a time in this world, really. It's,
yeah,
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's more just because her character has been so bizarre, and even there's some moments in this episode, which I'll touch upon, where I even more was like, what made you this way? That's more
yeah.
where I want to know the backstory. I don't really care about her as a person, but
yeah.
I'm like, what happened to you?
Aunt
to,
Lydia?
Yeah.
I feel
for
like
her.
Religion. I mean,
I've
no,
met
there's
few.
Some other moments,
you
too, that
so?
I'm like, which we'll get to it, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I've met a few Aunt Lydias in my life,
yeah.
and it doesn't sound like, it sounds like the opportunity that they would have had yeah. for any type of redemption happens early on.
Mm.
And that is just kind of, at that point, I mean, it's kind of like Trump.
Yeah.
Like, any opportunity for redemption of character. He's 74, 71, 72
You're
years
old.
That time has come and gone.
Yeah.
She doesn't
yeah.
like you, Aunt Lydia.
Yeah.
We have, when we get back with the commander, oh, the smile she gives him when she first sees him just totally makes me think of those moments where that many of you ladies, and maybe some gentlemen, they're like, hey, why don't you smile? Like, give me a smile. Though he didn't prompt her to, but mm-hmm. I felt that was the, someone's looking at you and you return with a smile. And she just goes, has that,
Yeah, that's her entire,
oh, just
entire
like,
life. That's
yeah.
her entire. That's the essence of her existence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Having to do and play up these moments with everything. It's just like, ah.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch, but I'm actually happy for her that they took her back to that home. I mean, when we cut to the beginning and she was chained in, I thought, mm-hmm. oh, wow, how long has she been here?
Mm-hmm.
How long can you mentally do mm-hmm. this before you lose it, you crack? And then they said 3 days, and I said, wow, she didn't have it that bad. And then they said, you're going to go see Nick, and then I thought, damn, you really got it good. But mm-hmm. for what you did, you kind of got away with it.
Well, she was kidnapped, quote unquote, for those listening. That moment was actually super funny in the episode to me. What about you guys? When she goes like, oh, you were kidnapped. And the look she gives Aunt Lydia like, what?
It was a nice evolution of June's character from like defiant to kind of just...
Yeah.
Lost and you know, hopeless at the end.
Well, they said it's kidnapping because it's a story that everyone can live with. Mm-hmm. So it's true. And then, like, nobody, they're not, she's not at fault the same way. So, but we do get the timeline with Serena. She's been gone 92 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Serena is wonderfully displayed how violent she is all over again. Of, like, the choking her. Mm-hmm. I liked June's reply, though, where she goes, oh, well, hey, if you don't hurt my baby, I won't hurt yours. But I almost wanted her to do the... You know, stress is bad for the baby, too. Like, you can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. But she didn't... It kind of was it, but not... I want a little bit more. Like, really rub it in her face.
Yeah. I think Rita, like, just to cut a little bit forward, when Rita gets back the notes,
she
talks about, you don't know what it's been like.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I kind of want June to be more defiant, but I think a big theme of this episode is how June's defiance... has cost other people.
This is true.
Caused other people pain.
Yeah, true.
Cost them their lives. And so it's not to say I disagree with June, but I think just from that one moment of Rita being like, you just don't know what it's been like. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, pick and choose.
Well, later though, with the handmaid, the other handmaid's like, well, you didn't make people do certain things.
Yeah.
So it's not totally your fault, but it's a good point.
In regards to Rita, that is something where...
Her actions have consequences, which she kind of ignores.
Yeah. That's not to say that June is in the wrong. I've just it's more of like I would be concerned if I were June.
Sure. What your actions? What ripples?
Well, no, like if I say when they're at the baby shower, which I don't want to cut ahead to, but when they're at the baby shower and she says something not even defiant but just honest and true, and Serena slaps Rita in regards to it, that was kind of like, okay, this is like what's actually been going on.
Right. True. Yes.
Serena can't take it out on June.
Exactly.
She's been taking it out on Rita. And I can understand June being like reticent to put Rita.
That's true.
Under fire for that.
I just want to say one thing. This is crazy because when Serena starts choking her and she takes it out on Rita and all this stuff, I'm just like, this world is literally driving every woman insane. This benefits no one, not even the men, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, at that moment when she was choking her, I just saw two women losing it. And I just thought, you know what? At what point are these women gonna open their eyes and maybe at least join forces? This is my ideal world. Probably would never happen on this show, but I mean, can you imagine if the wives and the handmaids got together and that'd be the ultimate revolution? I mean, I don't know. I was just I had to go somewhere with it.
But that also speaks to just like how, you know, women's politics in real life.
Yeah.
We're often kind of pushed to be against each other, or, you know, it's kind of, when you're in a mainly patriarchal society, then there's going to be those of us that, quote-unquote, fall in line and those of us that don't. And so if you don't fall in line with that particular mindset, then the women who have been raised to believe that to be true will come up against you. And so that speaks to a certain truth that I understand, but what I don't appreciate is that so far this season, the only violence we've seen towards women mainly has been... caused by other women. And it's kind of like, well, really, I would really love to see more about the commanders. Not that I have any interest in their lives or their story, but like, what is the deal? Like, why are they so untouchable? Which in and of itself might be a commentary as well.
That's true. We get that scene, though, where the skeet shooting and then our commander is trying to... Yeah, there we go. We kind of see some of the other commanders and they're talking. We get a little bit of the outside world of them trying to do deals with Canada. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, Canada's making deals with them? I think they wouldn't have done it. But
very
it's still
realistic
like
thing though.
Want them to come in and rescue them, but yeah.
The commander did.
But real world, that's a totally different thing. In this world, I go, can you go and fix it? But
well, the commander really, I don't know if I'm just wishful thinking here, but did you see it? Okay, so the commander was very like wanting to go to Canada.
Yeah.
And obviously that could have been based on a business opportunity or a power play or this political move or whatnot. But I also felt like there was a hint of him not resisting the, you know, the society that they're living, but sort of maybe slowly waking up and trying to see, you know, they even corrected him. He said something like, oh gosh, what did
he say? Oh, he wanted to join the special community. Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. Back in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. They corrected. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like, whatever, I don't care. I'm drinking my whiskey. And, you know, I don't know if all the men in this society went to the brothels and everything, but there's something about the commander. Do you guys see that? Or is it my just wishful thinking? There's something that I feel like he might be not letting on to something else, where there's a slight resistance forming. Or maybe he's an undercover. Or
maybe.
No, I think...
No. Maybe resistance, but not undercover.
I think they've shown, like... Like when they did Myra's story of, and she encounters that kid who was in the army.
Yes.
And when he was in the army, when they took over, they just transitioned them to, like, for him to become, like, a soldier or, like, the eye or something. And the struggle that he dealt with, the fact that he, like, watched his lover be hanged and all that kind of stuff. So they have shown that, like, not everyone who's there wants to simply fall in line. And you see that even with the... Mm-hmm. Akano husband, who's like secretly a Muslim, or not secretly, but is a Muslim. I don't get that feeling from the commander. I mean, they did that whole, when they did the backstory on Serena, he was very much a part of it, and you watched.
And Serena was, which someone in the chat pointed out too.
But over the time, he's the like waking up, is what I think. Like, not everyone is woke, like going, you know, obviously he might have been with it, but as he sort of...
He's having second thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I feel. He worked to keep June in the house. He manipulated Serena a little bit.
But that's also for...
You think for him?
Him.
Okay, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
I'm just saying, so far I haven't seen anything that makes me believe he's... Anything but falling in luck and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Back into some of the stuff happening in the episode, too, of how creepy and uncomfortable is that bath scene where Aunt Lydia's like, just standing there watching, be sure to wash everywhere, and there's definitely no sense of privacy, which we didn't really have before. But the way June was looking up at her, I was almost thinking that she's like, do you like that, like, kind of a thing, like testing that water, too? Because that was the suggestion, that Aunt Lydia... But that scene was just so wonderfully awkward.
I thought she was going to start, like, pleasuring herself just to piss Aunt Lydia off. I was like, what is happening here? She was just looking at her like, I
thought that's essentially how
you.
She was doing it.
Okay. Oh, she was. Okay.
Yeah. Antle in the chat says, Waterford is not a good guy, and he is only concerned about himself.
Yeah.
Just trying to make sense out of this.
Yeah. Oh, the letters come back, which is interesting because Rita didn't destroy the letters, so she doesn't want them gone, but she herself can't pass them on, which is like, oh, that's sad too. Oh, and the... Okay, so we get into the creepy baby shower prep, and then the baby shower, which Serena notices how June looks at Nick. Which it's like, but Serena, you helped them hook up so they can make you a baby, so calm down. But I still was made me nervous. I'm glad Nick's still okay. I was concerned that maybe he would have gotten found out in something.
It seems like the network works in a way that
enough.
It's separate enough.
Oh, and having to be there, the handmaids and June during the baby shower, but just kind of on the side was so like
dehumanizing.
It's like, why are they even there? But.
It's ridiculous.
It's a sign. Symbol.
It's such a psychotic scene to see. Like, if these people thought for one second and separated themselves, like the wives, and just rationalized and spoke out loud what is really happening. Like, we're pretending that these are our children. We're gathering, like, everyone's in a happy utopia. It's like, it's very psychotic. I just, for me to watch it, I'm like, I don't know if I have to laugh or cry, because it's so ridiculous what they're doing in this society, but
it's bizarre for sure. But those moments too of June's pushing back, she kind of has that power play moment of they go, oh, I haven't heard the baby kick or felt the baby kick, and then she's like, oh yeah, well, I felt it last night. I was like, that was a definite purposeful F you. Which I thought was funny, though.
Yeah.
But then they all kind of move on, like, well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do at that moment? There's no way to punish her.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't.
Not really.
She's not yet. Exactly. Then we have Lydia and Serena having that little conversation was interesting. And she points out, like, oh, I've had this discussion. Lydia says, I've had this trouble before with wives and handmaids. And Serena's like, mothers and handmaids. I was like, oh my goodness. That was just cut that tension with a knife, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just saying, I loved when Aunt Lydia took her cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Bad for the baby.
I was like, okay, Aunt Lydia, you go.
I thought that was funny, too.
And she's, you know, this whole thing, bad for the baby, is like haunting Sarita. Like, mm-hmm. it's coming from Aunt Fred. It's coming mm-hmm. from Aunt Lydia. Yep. If anything's going to make her crack, it's that it's yeah. that one line right there.
And then they point out the, yeah, you'll be forgiven for your resentment, and it's understandable. And then, like... This moment made me yeah. think of real-world comparison, birth mothers and adoptive mothers. Mm-hmm. There's definitely those that are of the mindset that they should be a unity with the child, like the like a pyramid in terms of the child and both mothers. Mm-hmm. And then there's plenty of them that absolutely cannot, like, stand each other because it's, you know, almost a threat to your motherhood.
Circumstantial. I think it depends yeah. on like, the whole situation between and what yeah. the birth mother and adoptive mother have agreed to. So mm-hmm. I can't say I feel one way or the other. It comes down to what those two individuals feel.
Oh,
versus
yeah.
this is just like, you know, rape and then child theft.
So, oh, but no, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a totally different category, but connecting it to mm-hmm. real world, it is like, Sarita, yes, you're stealing her baby, but mm-hmm. I kind of go, you need to get along with this person because she's going to be the mother of your child, or at least be polite and mm-hmm. cordial because she's giving you a baby. Mm-hmm. Well, not giving, you're taking.
Yeah.
But she's your incubator. You need to be nice to it.
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, with June and the other handmaids, too, of how we learn Off Glen has no tongue because wow. she stood up for Janine. Yum. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Learn some of the other stuff. But she said Mayday's gone silent and they're done helping handmaids. Do we think Mayday is done?
Yeah, for a while or for indefinitely.
Permanent?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
It's hard to say if anything's permanent. But yeah, I think the risk, especially after going mm-hmm. after a handmaid, was just too much for them to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably won't be doing it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Gotta go silent.
I like this. Rebel with a Cause says Serena's feeling all of the pain right now, and I am all for her discomfort.
Yeah.
All here. Yes, I agree.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. That was funny. So that ritual with the like kind of Celtic knot mm-hmm. and the weaving, mm-hmm. I was thinking it was actually rather pagan-like, and I think it's kind of funny with their super Christian thing of what's a fertility ceremony, mm-hmm. essentially, too.
I mean, that's pretty common. Christians yeah. have stolen a lot from
yes, they have.
The pagan, like the pagan yeah. religion, yeah. So.
Anybody else notice the moment where Lydia put her hand on June, too, of, like, wanting to almost feel that energy? I don't know. That was a moment, too, that I'm like, this is weird. Because June, it wasn't telling June to do something. Because there's
That's
been
what
those
I thought.
Moments.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been. I felt it was more she wanted to feel that energy, too.
Sure.
Because after Lydia touched June, she looked up like, oh, I feel the energy in the room, which made it creepy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys think she was controlling? Do you think Lydia was controlling or trying to get in on that excitement and energy?
I can see it the way you're saying. Yeah, she definitely wants that energy. But I initially, I just thought she, because mm-hmm. June wasn't praying out loud.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
so I thought maybe she was like, like say the prayer, you know, type
yeah.
thing. That's how I read it. But I like your interpretation. Mm-hmm. She's crazy. She wants that holy
yeah.
energy, I guess. Yeah.
We have a little quick thing for y'all.
Well, this is good energy, you guys. Yes, if you want good energy and you want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life, we do have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos is hosted by our AfterBuzz founder, Maria Menounos. Yes, you can find it on iTunes every Friday. That's Conversations with Maria Menounos. It features celebrities, influencers, motivational speakers, all people from all different walks of life, and they kind of give tips and you know, tricks of the trade on how to better your life, and they share their experiences, and it's pretty cool. You can you know, learn about health, wellness, career, relationships, finance. It's she covers everything. So let Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and you can subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And be sure to rate it, comment, and when you do, tell Maria Maria that the Handmaid's Tale panel sent you there. So, yeah, Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Check it out. Yeah.
Nice. Awade17 in the chat says, Lydia gets really involved with the ceremonies, and she feels really connected to the whole situation, just like her ringing the bell when she found out June was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Very good point. And then Lisa agrees Lydia was getting in on the spiritual energy. Mm, yeah.
Sure.
But it makes sense because, I mean, there are, like, at church, like, praying and people putting their hands upon each other as well. So it's a similar concept. How did we like that flashback of Luke's wife coming up to June?
Wow.
And, like, so you're June, right? Oh, that was wonderfully awkward. But understandable.
That was wild. I didn't see that coming. I know Me they neither. Did hint it, but I didn't think we were going to go this, you know, detailed into the situation. I don't know. It's hard for me because I think cheaters are, like, the worst people in the world. And I don't know if June was, or if they were cheating. I mean, what the scenario was, I guess, at that point, they had been separated.
June said you weren't separated when we started.
You weren't separated when we started, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's a tough call because I think that that woman had every single right to come up to June and express herself. But I also think that that woman was in denial about where the relationship went and whether it ended. So I don't know. I don't think she crossed the line. I just think that she needed to look within herself as well to maybe find some answers instead of going after the other women.
True.
The other woman.
My only thought on it that I was kind of like, well, yes, but is you can tell, absolutely, she could go up to June and express how she feels about this situation. However, just telling June to stop, Luke's part of the problem too. So it's like almost blaming the woman for the problem, almost, where I'm like, yeah, it's not like Luke, you didn't push Luke into her arms. Mm-hmm. He did it of his own will. So,
Of course.
And then I know you were kind of, is this I where you're touching?
This
where,
is kind of touching on it. And then like that last moment with the Econo husband being hanged. I was like, this is a moment where, and I went and I looked at the writer's room to see, like, do they have any people of color in the writer's room? I was like, because I can understand not wanting the added layer of race if a show is already kind of dystopian and dark. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, life right now is dystopian and dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't get to take out my race in that dystopian and darkness. So when I view something where they do have people of color in it, and they are talking about them being persecuted in any way, I need to talk about that, because the dynamic of a black man leaving his black wife for a white woman is a totally different dynamic.
Super white girl.
Than, like, a black man leaving his black wife for a black woman, or a white man leaving his white wife for a white woman. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, because that would probably make it would probably give her reasoning for going up to June more sense. Because, yeah, I'm not somebody who believes that you punish the mistress. You should, like, be hard on the man. Like, if that's it, he's in the wrong.
No, they both deserved it.
But at the same time, it was just something of, like, that. I was like, that's a commentary I would love to see, because here is an older black woman approaching, I think not much older, but a few years older.
A little bit, enough, yeah.
Like, I could, to the point where I could tell that this actress is probably older than so-and-so. And then also to have that scene after of him yelling at her and calling her crazy, I was like, all of this, I thought that whole scene was handled poorly. And I think it was handled poorly because they weren't taking in those racial accounts. And also, like, me as a black woman watching a black man rip into a black woman about being upset versus, I mean, it spoke to a certain level of truth that would probably be something that would happen. You know, I would imagine that would be a more realistic conversation. But, like,
do you think they stereotyped her?
I think they might have stereotyped her a little bit just by even giving her that moment where she yells at her and calls her a whore. Like, because we're supposed to be on the side of June and on the side of her husband, like, yes, they can be complex and difficult people. But you want me to, and you're asking me, as a black woman who likes the show, to be supportive of these two people, knowing that historically they handled that situation poorly. Like, even the way June talks to the ex-wife about being like, well, it's been months, or just kind of like blowing it off. If I was a mistress and the wife approached me, it's kind of my job as the mistress to try and be a little bit understanding. Even if my feelings are getting hurt, I have wronged this woman. Yeah. And so you do, if you make a whole show where it's about women trying to support women, even through difficulties of such and such and such, then I kind of need to see that, like, even just a little bit, even if it's just like, I'm sorry, you know, even if it's just something where
I think they did.
Yeah. She kind of did it, but then she kind of like pulled away from it. It was just, I was like, even if you just kind of like had the conversation.
No. I think,
or had June have the
like, think about it or say something later.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying in that moment. Because later on, I felt like June was sort of looking at that moment in a way to feel like I did somebody wrong and now I'm being wronged. Did she do that to Luke?
Yeah, she kind of addressed like a level of guilt with Luke.
We feel this was also?
But she could have done that with the ex.
Yeah. A couple people in the chat pointed out fertileness, which I noticed that with the coffee shop scene, that June was like the only person in there with a baby. Because I was like, why is everybody staring at her? I'm like, oh yeah, she has a baby, and there's no other babies in there. Do we think there was other issues with his wife of possibly not being able to conceive, and that could have been another issue they had?
I don't think that's something that...
No,
that
not a reason even, to break up.
No. I just don't think that's something that Luke was probably even thinking about when they were getting together.
Yeah.
And then I saw somebody said that there's just not enough space to deal with race-related justice. There's always enough space to deal with every single type of justice, because if you're talking about women's pain, you're talking about all women's pain, and that's just not white pain. It's black pain. It's Latino pain. It's Asian pain. So to say that there's just not enough space discounts what other women are going through. Well,
patriarchal society. So I do agree in the sense where, you know, in that type of society, everyone, unless you're a white man, even minority men are less than.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. But in a nutshell,
is there a moment or something, like one or two points that you think would have made that seem better to address race, or just they could have done something else? And also, I didn't hear the answer of, were there people of color writers?
There were zero people of color writers.
Okay.
There are women, but there were zero people of color. No, I think it's something where it could have been even, like, if you want me to be understanding of June, especially June, being a white woman whose best friend is a black, queer character, then to have her have a moment, even if it's not to the wife, with Luke being like, but, you know, I understand how this looks, or I am aware that, you know, you left me, a white woman, or you left your black woman for me, a white woman. And so, like, even just those little small moments, just because it's
like
not
acknowledge,
about,
you're saying,
it's an acknowledgement.
They just go past it.
Yeah, you don't need to.
It could be a simple line.
You don't need to, like, harp on it, but just even a small moment. And then also, if you're going to have a shot of a hanging black man in your show, you need to acknowledge that. Like, it's just, like, because... Who was also with a white woman, and they could have acknowledged it even through them. But if you're going to show that, like, seeing that as a black person was just kind of jarring, and seeing these two white women talk about it, and seeing this other white woman into the guilt for it, and then, like, just even the historical issues of white women often leading black men to their deaths when lynches were common, back when you could just say, this person looked at me the weird way, and they'd go get lynched. I was like, you can't do those types of things without acknowledging real life, because it's cute, it's nice to be like, oh, it's fiction, like, get over it. But Margaret Atwood wasn't just saying this is fiction when she wrote it, so let's not deny the truth she was speaking to then. Even though Margaret Atwood, you know, whatever.
Quick clarification in the chat, it was more story justice, not necessarily race. But
she said racial justice. It's okay. I'm not arguing with you, Lisa, but you did say no time for racial justice. We can scroll back.
No, we're low on time. I think it's a very important issue to talk about, and I'm glad we brought it up, because that was an issue with season one
that I wanted to address.
I'm sure many people feel the same way.
It's not like I'm like, oh, this really, like, girls my goat. I was like, this is just something that I was like, if you're going to keep doing these types of storylines or showing these types of images, have someone acknowledge it. Like,
even
if it's a small one-off note.
Well, because it's one of those people think it, even if they don't say it. So we could have had June's thoughts.
Yeah.
we really quick, there's the moment with the post baby shower, which we touched on a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like that moment of June opening up saying, yeah, we gave away half our gifts. I felt that was her like sharing, but it shows I already had a child. I've successfully had a baby, which would hurt Serena more, yeah. but I don't think she meant it that way. I thought it was her being
she
kind.
She was kind of just getting lost in her own thought. And I read a great article where it was like, well, Serena, Serena hearing that would probably just make her look at Alfred as a person and not as a vessel.
That too.
And that would probably infuriate her as well.
Yeah. Then there is Serena's upset because we might kick her out, June and Fred. But then the husband's like, well, you don't want to miss this pregnancy, which is a good point, too, even though it's creepy and disturbing. So the moment you were talking before, so we have Lydia and June walking. Because it's one of those, it's like, are you listening to what you're saying with Aunt Lydia of, you know, you're giving getting the best chance you can have, and you're just like, ah. Mm-hmm. We have Omar has been hanged. The wife is now handmaid, which is one of those, oh, and she was bitching about it so much. Well, I'm like, I can never do that.
She said that that's what they hold over them. They hold over the Akana wives so they can become handmaids.
But it's just even more like, because we just talked about that.
That is the most unfortunate situation.
And the child's never going to see the mom again, which that, is like that. Sucks.
A man just trying to help.
I thought it was a horrible
just trying to help somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
About Lydia, and it speaks to just, sorry, I'm going to mean to talk
over you. Go for it. No, I was just I was like just sad about it.
But it speaks to just like the callousness of Aunt Lydia and how it's kind of like, I don't want to.
So that we're kind of getting to the guilt here too, because when Aunt Lydia, this is a wonderful and disturbing psychological way to break someone of the two identities Alfred essentially has of Alfred and June, because it's like your almost public life, private life, and like the different ways to be. Because it's June did this, Alfred's free.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's like POW mindset that you may as well lose who you are, which she does at the end, which we'll get
to. Well, it was that moment when she goes to get that reinforcement of, like, don't let the bastards get you down. And
oh, yeah, that sucked.
And it was gone.
Painted over.
And, you just kind of knew they broke her. They finally broke her.
Oh, yeah.
The way that Aunt Lydia uses every moment to sort of flip and gain power on the situation is fascinating. I'm not saying I agree with it. Obviously, it's dark and cynical, but I'm just kind of fascinated at how she is able to sort of switch the facts. I thought, my God, she'd be a great lawyer. And,
right?
And, you know, she could argue for anything and make it sound like, oh, wow, yes. Yeah.
Well, in this dystopian, horrible world, everybody's accountable for their own decisions, and regardless of, I mean, self-survival and self-preservation is one crazy other thing to do. Mm-hmm. Tiny bit agreed with Aunt Lydia that she chose for them that she was selfish because she did not have to go into his apartment home that she's trying to survive too.
Yeah.
But it is not checking with the whole family. They didn't ask the wife, like, is this okay?
And also, you have to think, like, even in that mindset, in that society,
so just a little bit.
The wife, even if she's an Akana wife, has no voice.
That's
true.
Like,
so in the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what she wants.
But June should have asked her.
Yeah, but
well, not that she would have had a way to ask.
Because once he made the decision to
that's on him,
back to his place. I don't want to say, like, it's like it's on him. Well, he, like, you know, deserved it. But, like,
deserved it.
I'm not saying you're saying that, but, like, it's kind of
The risk.
He took the risk. And so it's kind of like one of those things of, like, hey, when I can't remember the other handmaid who comes up to her and is like, you have nothing to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
Like,
we
stood by. We dropped the rocks. It wasn't just you by yourself.
The only way to rationalize this so you don't get guilt or you do is, like, casualties of war, right? Mm-hmm. In order to, like, see something through, they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
This is that's what it is. And the way I thought of, if I had to, like, you know, reason with the situation, I'd be like, you know what? These are just, it happens as casualties of war. Otherwise, she goes crazy.
And that she went crazy.
And she went crazy.
Before she gets crazy, we'll get to that too. There's the other disturbing kind of moment where Serena goes into the room and, like, touches holds the belly. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it made me think of, I saw a woman with a t-shirt that said, touch the belly, lose the hand. Mm-hmm. Like, the no invitation, but how people will touch pregnant women's bellies. Like, I don't need permission. I'm just going to touch you, which is so disturbing to me because I would never think, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's other touching people do anyways. Mm-hmm. But somehow with pregnancies, be like, oh, let me touch the belly. Yeah.
I've never touched a pregnant woman's belly without asking.
Right?
And if they said no, then I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's the thing.
Bizarre.
People, that's
they
very.
They do it.
It's a big thing. They just think you have a right to touch a woman's belly because she's pregnant. I don't know, there's something
very weird.
And that was creepy, by the way, that scene.
Super creepy.
I didn't know if she was gonna beat her. I mean, what did
I didn't know what she was gonna do.
It was like a scary movie.
So the last kind of chunk of what goes down this episode, we have June saying she hopes Hannah will forget her, and she continually talks down to herself, which is unhealthy in any situation for anybody to do, because your thoughts are very powerful. So that moment, too, she puts on the full attire, doesn't talk to Nick, and then I'm like, oh, does she have a mental break? And in these moments, we don't see her face. She has no identity. She is purely the handmaid. And the moment we finally see her face outside is when it even is at almost, like, up, where she's just so blank, and then to camera, and then on that loop of it, we're blessed with nice weather. Yeah. I'm like, oh, crap. She's broken.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it's kind of like... I get that. If you're so exhausted and you've been through so much.
Oh, I totally get it.
And I'm curious to see how they're going to play with that in the next episode of just like that PTSD and even like post, but like just constant trauma.
I think that she's checking out, but not permanently. I think it's just like maybe to get through, and then once she gives birth, her June will come back. Because I feel like if she was going to go insane, she would have gone insane by now at this point. And if you can survive what she has survived, then you can survive anything. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it was a loony bin moment. You know, that was tough. But I don't know. I think that she's just going to play the game. Mm-hmm. Get to the next step, which is give birth, and then we're going to be like, resistance.
That's a good point. Rebel with Cause says, as a victim of abuse, sometimes you have to become numb to survive.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. I think she is broken, but in a survivalistic mode in terms of, I don't think she's gone.
No.
Right.
Any other quick thoughts on this episode? Are we...
We dug into
a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to dig into.
I know we teased it at the top. We'll just say a couple quick thoughts. So there was a SNL skit of Handmaid's Tale kind of meets Sex and the City, which I just didn't really think is very funny. I'm like, these are very serious topics, and I understand sometimes making humor of serious topics can make it easier, but I just was like, it's not funny.
They did that last year, and I thought it was a much more interesting SNL skit. I can't remember exactly the details of it, but I remember watching it and having an appreciation for it. And Amy Schumer is just so problematic. That it's kind of like, I don't know if I really, I couldn't get through the whole skit, but.
I wasn't a fan of it. I mean, I was excited because I was like, oh, they're going to do a Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, it's going to be funny. I need to laugh. But it's not laughable. And then they connected to Sex and the City, which is like, you know, here, and Handmaid's Tale is here as far as the, you know, the substance in the show. And so it was just kind of, I don't know, like, you know, you're making fun of, like, people's oppression and trying to make light of it, even though it's a fictional show, it's very relevant. So it was, I didn't think the sketch was funny.
So leave comments down below. Did you see the sketch? If you haven't watched it yet, you can check it out. So SNL did a new Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you thought of it. Yeah. Did you think it was funny, or what could have made it better? Please comment down below your thoughts on that and the episode, because there definitely is a lot to unpack with this show, and I know there's other things that even more in depth. So if you want to continue the discussion with us, where can they find you, ladies?
Yes, you guys can find me online at veronicabonline.com, and then on social media, veronicabonline.
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow.
And we're glad to have you back with us this week. So stop back in again when you can, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It won't all be about race, you guys.
I like your insight. I learned something new every time. I'm like, she's right. Oh, my God. I love it.
They're important discussions to have. maybe we'll make sure to get everything in the episode because I know we went into a bit, but I think it's important to discuss. So absolutely. I hope you all enjoyed the discussion as well. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for joining us in the chat. You add to the discussion.
Yes.
And no worries if you didn't watch it live. Comment down below. That's part of the discussion as well. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you all later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.